You are listening to Ratchet and the Geek, the intersection of social media, pop culture, and technology, brought to you by Lovey from AwesomelyLovey.com. She's a humor writer, a social media strategist, and the co-founder of the Red Pump Project. And me, Scott Hanselman from Hanselman.com. I'm a software engineer, web guy, former computer science professor, and a guy with too many gadgets. And together, we will bring you everything that we know and think about TV, movies, games, gadgets, stories of fail, the dumbest tweets you've ever heard, product recommendations, and lots more. Here on Ratchet and the Geek. We're back. It's episode 2, which means people listened last week, Lovey, so we have to keep doing it.
Yes. Like, we were going to be like, if no one listened, this never happened.
Yeah, we were going to delete the domain and pretend that this was like, it was just, what? I didn't know anything about a show.
Yep.
a lot of great comments, a lot of cool community starting to develop. We just threw up the discuss commenting system on the site there, and we've already got people talking about stuff, talking about your voice. People thought your voice was different than they expected.
Yeah, I think, okay, so here's the thing I get a lot. People think I'll sound like Sita from BET's, like Sita's World from way back in the day, which makes me want to fight the air every time somebody says that. They're like, we expected you to sound like Sita. Sita was the most ignorant. Like, I am not Sita. So, yes, I am glad people know what my voice sounds like now, and they can actually read my tweets in my voice.
Exactly. But they also liked my voice, surprisingly. I have some lady fans.
That's because you sound like AM radio commented all smooth, like smooth jazz. Like,
well, Lovey, I don't know why you think that, but
yeah. So, but we love the comments people sent us about the show. So thank you for listening.
Yep. We will do it another week and see how it goes. And then we'll pretend it never happened.
Right. We'll be like, oh, the second one was bad. Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. But more importantly, this show is different than last 2 weeks ago show because you made me watch Scandal first. Last week, you saw it on the East Coast. I didn't see it yet. Now, I have just literally 5 minutes ago stopped watching Scandal, and I'm here.
Listen, Scandal is just life,
it's
okay?
Everything. It's everything.
Scandal is everything. I just... These writers, I mean, seriously, bow down to them. They are just like ridiculous.
Yes. They're on Twitter. Scandal writers are on Twitter. Like, they have like a collective group tweet.
Oh, yeah. No, I tweeted them already multiple times. They probably think I'm a stalker.
Oh, well, this is the other thing about Scandal that people will learn is that you will become a stalker of whoever you're most excited about on that show. Like, you know that I'm a Kerry Washington stan since way back.
Yes, her lips are your spirit animal, right?
No, her cheekbones are my spirit animal.
Oh, wait. Her lips are my spirit animal. Yes. Okay, yes.
But I actually remember, I mean, I am such a Kerry Washington stan, and for the white people, go to urbandictionary.com and look up stan. that I have gone back and, like, I'm looking at her previous catalog in IMDb, and I mean, I went back to, like, 2001, 2000, when she was in a movie called Our Song, and she was, like, 22. And here's the bad part. This is actually a confession. I rented 1,000 Words, the movie with Eddie Murphy from last year, with just because it had Kerry Washington in it.
Oh, wait, this was last year? Like, this movie was last year.
Well, early this year, last year. The point is, this movie was out... Well, actually, this is a good point. This movie came out this year. It's already at Redbox.
Well, you know, movies end up at Redbox faster now.
Yeah, but this movie has 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
See, I had never even heard of this movie.
That's so how bad it is.
Dang.
This movie, here we go. This movie came out in March. I'm looking online. Came out in March of 2001. Was on DVD in June.
Wow.
Yeah, this movie was horrible. But Kerry Washington was in it for 20 minutes.
And that's why you watched
it? And that's why I wanted to see it.
Yeah, no, you are seriously a stan. Like, I had never even heard this movie. I still remember Kerry Washington from Save the Last Dance.
Oh, yes.
Remember her then? She had, like, this, like, jerry curl hair.
All she did, though, she pursed her lips and flexed her cheekbones, and it was on.
Yes. I mean, she's come a long way, though. Bless her heart.
She has. I have a little bit of a concern, though, about... I mean, I love her outfits in Scandal. They dress her on point. She's brought
the pantsuit back to life. She's done things for the pantsuit that Hillary Clinton couldn't do.
But, I cannot with you.
But I'm a little concerned. I mean, I love a good press and curl as much as the next white man, but I really feel like Kerry Washington with natural hair like would be better. Like if she had like a little teeny weeny afro, a little TWA.
I would love to see Kerry Washington's real hair. I would get my entire life. But I actually don't even pay attention to her hair in Scandal. Once again, I just pay attention to her clothes.
Yeah, exactly. Her clothes are fantastic. It's ridiculous.
Like today, she had on like this grayish, like...
The sweater?
Lavender. This grayish lavender wool coat. And I was like, where is that from? So my girl, Santara of the Gorgeous blog... Shout out, girl. She was like, that's Gucci. So I was like, you know what? Yeah, see, I don't have Gucci budget. I have Zara budget.
Oh, I have Old Navy budget. I have a gift card, actually.
Exactly. So her outfits are life. I don't pay attention to her hair, her outfits, her lips. That's it.
Yeah.
But tonight's episode of Scandal, though, what'd you think?
Well, first, Cyrus, the chief of staff of the White House, is, I thought he was just, I don't know, different. He's nuts. He's insane. Like right now, we're in like an insane off with Huck and Cyrus. I want to know which one of these fools is more nuts. Because when he talked to the first lady, I was like, this man is pure evil.
When he was like saying, you think I'm an animal, but I'm a monster?
Oh, yeah. Cyrus is the really nuts person here. I mean, Huck is nuts sad, but Cyrus is nuts nuts.
But see, Huck wears his craziness on his sleeve. So you know, you can see Huck's crazy. Cyrus's crazy is that underlying crazy that's a little bit more dangerous too because he can do some shicey stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, Huck has like underground power and Cyrus has like real power. He can really do some damage.
Exactly. But, I mean, the last 5 minutes, as always.
Oh, my goodness.
Killed me. Like.
Yeah, I watched it twice. I watched that 5 minutes twice.
It was just, I was like running around my living room, just like, I can't believe it. I can't.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, the best part of my evening, because my wife did not watch it, was going back and explaining it to her. Like, oh my goodness, you can't even believe it. You have to go. And she's like, no, I just want you to explain it to me. It's more fun when you tell me. Like, isn't it, it's almost more fun to tell people about that episode of Scandal than it is to watch Scandal. Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, but being there, like watching it, is just like...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy. Scandal. I'm here for Scandal all the time. And you know what? And I also know why this episode of Scandal couldn't show before our presidential election.
Oh, yes. We can't talk. Yeah, we don't want to give any spoilers away, but exactly.
Spoilers in case you haven't watched it.
Yep.
But I see why.
That is a great point. Imagine if this, because they moved it a week and we're like, why'd they make us wait 2 weeks? Imagine if they showed this. Like, when you watch it, go watch it and say, what if that was election night?
We would have lost our crap. Like, everyone was already nervous. So imagine if you watched that beforehand,
no.
I would have passed out.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
No one at all. So,
no one
yeah.
at all. Indeed. Yeah, I definitely am appreciating it. Like, I told you before that I loved the first season, but I wasn't over the top. But they got their writing game together, and it is officially a fantastic show. And that's coming from someone who likes Homeland. And you know how white people love Homeland.
I've never watched Homeland.
I know. That's why, because it's our show.
I have never watched Homeland. Yeah. Parks and Rec is my show, but I missed that today.
Yeah, I watched Community myself.
I love Community. Oh, I live for Community. I'm waiting for them to come back.
Yeah,
so.
You just got to watch it on Netflix because all the episodes are there. So you just go back and watch all the paintball episodes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Get your fix.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you were telling me this week about this whole de-walleting thing that you're on.
Yes, a de-walleting. So I was up in Seattle last week at a conference. And these guys were showing me their phones, right? And they're like, oh, my phone is small, and my phone is this. And then, and like, one guy shows me his iPhone 5 and talks about how slim it is, right? So I'm like, okay, that's cool. Another guy shows me his iPhone and shows me the case. And I said, oh, well, I want to get that case. Can you give me a business card? And then the guy pulls out this wallet. And it was like this George Costanza wallet. And by that, I mean, I'm saying that this wallet was as big as this man's butt. And he had it in his back pocket. You know what I mean? So he pulls this thing out, and I'm like, you don't get to talk to me about your small phone and then pull out this wallet. This wallet was the size of a shoe. So I told him, like, you need to de-wallet. And de-walleting is when a man makes the decision, or a woman who carries a wallet, that they will no longer be beholden to the giant wallet. So what I did is I got this case. I got it from Senna Cases. You know Steen Fox on Christine Fox?
Steenie, yes.
Steen,
yes,
right.
Indeed.
Shout out to Steen Fox. She works at Senna, S-E-N-A, Cases, and she turned me on to this particular case that has room for 6 credit cards. And it's a phone case in leather with a strap. Lets you use your phone without taking the case off. There's no crazy flip phone or any, no leather flip case. It's just a good solid case. And on the back of it, 6 credit cards. Then I took my, my Safeway card and my thrift, all my cards for my hotel cards and my United Airlines card, and I took pictures of them with an application called Keyring. And Keyring not only takes pictures of your cards, but it also scans the barcode. So now if I go to like Safeway and order something, I put the barcode picture underneath their scanner and it scans it. So I have no wallet.
Nice.
I have my
Very
phone.
Very nice.
People lose their wallets. People lose their phones. I have one. Now I could lose it, I suppose, but it's my damn wallet and my phone. I'm not going to lose it. And I'm telling you, I can put it in one pocket and it is free. My front pocket's wide open. It's a fantastic way to, I can't do it. I can't do it. What? No, just take a picture of any piece of paper you have. Use either iCloud or Dropbox so that you'll never lose that piece of paper. It doesn't matter what you use. Dropbox, iCloud, Evernote, OneNote. Take a picture. Like if you're at a hotel and they give you a piece of paper with the Wi-Fi password, take a picture. Throw the paper away. You don't need all those molecules in your pocket. Don't put that in your wallet. And then I'm serious. If you go to a restaurant and they have 10 stamps, 10 subs and you get an 11th sub free, you ask them to hold that card for you. They'll put it in a little file cabinet. You don't need to carry that around.
There are certain things that I have to have with me at all times. Me and my girls did something a couple of months ago called the Purse Project.
Mm-hmm.
And what we decided to do was we emptied the contents of our bags. We took pictures of it and we sent it to each other and said what was in our bags.
Oh, my goodness.
Can I tell you?
How many pages was yours?
Yo, no, mine was actually not even the word. I'm friends with a bunch of women who are resourceful on the go. They're always going from one event to the other. You should see some of their bags. Some of their bags had stuff that you would be like, they must be going on a trip. I always have lotion with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's required. Mm. I need lip gloss and Vaseline because my lips cannot be chapped. Shout out to you, Kerry Washington. You taught me this. And then I need my keys, which is a whole nother beast by itself. Mm. I need a pad most of the time because I never know when I want to write something down.
Mm-hmm.
And what else do I need? I have this pencil case that has makeup in it in case I ever need to put on makeup when I'm outside because
mm-hmm.
I'm going to an event. I need a tote bag all the time. Unless I'm going to the club. Well, I don't go clubbing, but...
Yeah, no. I actually done that a couple times myself. Someone will be describing what do you need to keep with you? I need this, and if I go to the club, I haven't been to the club in 15 years. What am I talking about? I'm not the old guy at the club. I don't go to the club. Yeah, I've done that before too. Catch myself saying, I need that. I might go to the club any minute.
I'm the person who goes to the club and stands around with my pea coat, looking like a chaperone, judging people for dancing. I don't go to the club unless somebody drags me there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard for women to de-wallet because we have stuff we need. We need sanitary stuff. We need hand sanitizer. We just have more stuff. How men walk around with no wallets is no bags is really mind-boggling to me. You guys don't carry lotion? What if you get ashy?
Well, it depends on what kind of man you're talking about. I don't know about other men, but I've got oil. It's on my forehead. And if anything else gets ashy, I just bring it down.
Yeah.
I got my oily tea. I don't need to carry any additional lotion. What's wrong with you?
Your T-zone got
my T-zone has enough lotion to go around. You need some. If we're ever hanging out, you're here at the club, you need some lotion, you just let me know.
You got covered. I need my Vaseline, my petroleum jelly, because, especially now that it's wintertime, regular lotion can't do me justice. Oh, no. I'd be looking like Tyrone Biggums around the hands.
Yeah, actually, I get in trouble for that because when I take the boys out, they get ashy, and I need to, I actually have lotion stashed around, like around the house, and I have it in the car in three different places. I always get in trouble because wife doesn't want the boys going around looking gray.
They cannot be looking gray. That is your responsibility as a father of mixed boys to make sure that they are gray. Yes, it is.
Yes, it's true. It's true. It's true. But you know, I carry other stuff, right? I mean, I know what it means to carry stuff. I have to carry my blood sugar stuff because I'm diabetic. I got my continuous glucose meter and my pump. So de-walleting for me also was not just like a little declaration of my freedom from carrying stuff around, but it was also making room for all the stuff I really have to carry.
Gotcha. See, that makes sense.
There you go.
But what I've noticed is a lot of my friends, most of us had eye drops in our bags for some odd reason. Even if we don't use glasses or not, I guess we'd be getting dry eyes.
Yeah.
So that was another piece. But yeah.
Yeah. I like to see if I can travel with the least amount of stuff. Like I've even tried to go to Europe with just a carry-on bag. I appreciate that. I'm always looking for a way to hack my life, hack my travel, improve something. I don't know if it's a gadget or a widget or a tip. If there's something I can do to improve something, I will buy that thing and try it out.
So what is your newest gadget find?
Well, so this is actually bad because it's my second gadget of the same type. I got this thing called a 3M Filtret Wireless Thermostat at Home Depot for like $99, and it lets me basically turn on the furnace from my phone, and that was cool, and I put it in myself, and you can go on my blog and search for 3M thermostat, and it was great because, like I say, it was reasonably well priced, and it was at Home Depot, one of those things on the end cap. The end cap always gets me. And then somebody told me about a thing called the Nest, and the Nest is effectively the iPhone of wireless thermostats. So just kind of compare that, a $99 thermostat in a blister pack and white plastic that I bought at Home Depot versus the iPhone of thermostats. And it literally is the iPhone of thermostats because the guys that made the iPhone, like some of them quit and started this new company, Nest.com. Check out this thing if you got your browser up. And they made this thermostat. It's ridiculous. It's gorgeous. So I coveted it for a while, and then I just, like, pulled the trigger. Don't tell my wife how much it cost.
Mo, I'm snitching.
Yeah, it's a problem, but this thing is beautiful. So it has a, like, an electric eye, so it knows when you're in the house or not, and will automatically turn off the heat if it figures that you're not there.
Word?
Yeah, it has Wi-Fi, so you can control it from your phone. It knows the temperature outside. It also has its own thermometer, so it knows not only what the temperature is, but how fast it takes to get to the temperature. So let's say it's like 65, I turn it to 75, and it'll say, okay, we'll be at 75 in 20 minutes. It'll actually tell you how long. Exactly. Yeah. It's crazy. And apparently, they say that it will lower your heating and cooling bills by up to 20%.
That is
amazing.
Fancy.
Isn't it fancy?
That is fancy.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the ultimate geek thing. I just need to figure out. Oh, and then when I sold my old one, my Home Depot one on eBay. So, bam.
For how much?
For half price, for $50. That's the price that half the price I bought it for. This is the thing about me. I admit I buy my gadgets, but you know this about me. I will always sell the old gadget and try to get at least 50%. So, I don't know if that sounds like an addict where I'm like, yeah, man, I can quit. I can quit anytime I need to. But it's my way of justifying if I buy something that I will always try to make a little money back.
Yeah, you are addicted to gadgets, but it's that nerd life. That's what that geek life do.
It is, but you know, they don't always have to cost $250. I got a thing called a Raspberry Pi. Are you down with the Raspberry Pi?
What's that?
Oh, girl. I love sharing stuff with you that you've never heard of before. Okay.
I'm like, Raspberry Pi?
Yes.
School me.
Yes.
School me.
Well, I know you like pie, but you're not going to like this as much. This is Raspberry Pi, like P-I. This is a $35 computer. It is a little tiny computer the size of a deck of cards that comes out of England. So if anyone who's listening has got like a kid, maybe 10 to 15 years old, you could give them a little computer. It's got a little CPU. It has HDMI, so you can plug it into your television in your living room. You just get a wireless keyboard, and you can actually use any old cell phone charger that you have lying around to work this thing. And it's not like a PC, right? It's not going to give you you know, Xbox quality graphics and a fancy web browser, but it's for hacking. It's for teaching your kids computers. If you want to get, well, think about it. You have a class of, let's say, 20 kids, right? You could go and put together $1,200 and buy a computer. Or you could give 20 kids two Raspberry Pis each, and they could play with them. They could hack them. They can plug stuff into them. They can learn to code. Why buy PCs when you could buy a computer and hand it to the child and say, go and hack this?
So are you going to buy for your kids?
Yeah, I totally did. I bought one.
Oh, you did?
Well, it's tiny. Actually, if you go to my blog right now at Hanselman.com, you can check it out. They built a Lego case to hold it. And if you look right there, Lovey, you can see the red Lego case that they built for it. It's about the size of a deck of cards, literally. It's that small. So I made a list here on my blog of all the things that you can make with this. You can make an internet radio. You could plug it into a robot. You could learn to program like speech recognition. You can hook it up and make it look like a Super Nintendo. You could you could do something like, you could I'm just totally brainstorming. You could plug in a water sensor and make it automatically water your plants. Like, but if you have a kid that you need to focus and you need that kid to sit down and learn something and work and make something amazing, very, very creative, very inexpensive way to get involved in hobbyist computing.
Fancy denim mug.
See, I can hear you reading in the background, thinking about Raspberry Pi now. You're going to start telling people about the Pi.
I mean, I don't really, well, I'll probably tell, well, my nephews are also like iPads junkies. Mm-hmm. So they might be like, oh, okay. So, yeah.
It's about,
this will actually be good.
It's about making versus consuming. I mean, I think that, you see what I'm saying? Like, you get an iPad, you can consume. But if you're going to be a maker, a creator, the iPad is not going to serve you as well. But if you're the kind of kid or adult that would take like a Roomba robot that you found at Goodwill and hook a camera up to it and have it walking around your house with a robot Raspberry Pi controller on top of it, then this is the kind of thing that you would want to get involved in.
So actually, that reminds me. So last week we were talking about like how important it is to back up your computer in case something ever happened.
Yes.
So apparently, since we spoke it up, Scott's computer crashed.
It did, and it didn't just crash like in that kind of like made a weird noise crash kind of way. Mm-hmm. It crashed in that simply stop turning on kind of way.
Wow.
Like I was hoping for some sounds, but then I realized that I got an SSD. I got one of those quiet hard drives. Mm-hmm. So remember the old days when your hard drive would be like, and you're like, I really need to think about getting that fixed. And we'd do that for weeks. Computers don't do that anymore. They just don't turn on one morning, and then it's over. So, yeah, that happened. It happened yesterday. I had to spend yesterday restoring from backup. Restoring from backup. To where I'm actually talking to you right now on my newly restored machine.
See? Just like that.
It would be, you know, what would have been funny would have been if I talked about backing up last week and then got crashed and had nothing. I had to come on the show and tell you that I didn't have a backup.
That would have been tragedy. Like that.
You would have laughed.
Yeah, I'd been in the fetal position. So, and last week we were talking about Gia's computer. So it's funny that yours crashed. And while I'm over here talking, after this show, I'm going to back up my computer because I feel like mine might be next just because Murphy's Law be acting like that.
Yeah, because you said it out loud. And now that you said it, it's going to happen.
Damn you, Scott. Like.
do you have crash plan? Do you back it up to the cloud?
What, my computer?
Yeah.
No, I haven't backed it up to the cloud. I have it backed up to my 1 terabyte hard drive, but I need to do like a complete backup for that. Mm-hmm. And but I have pieces of my information backed up everywhere. So I have like 5 jump drives. I got Dropbox. So work it out.
So Dropbox, that counts as the cloud, I think.
Yeah, but I don't have everything on Dropbox. It's just like pieces here and there. So.
Well, one of the things that I would like to really encourage people to think about is that unless you have a newer computer, like with an SSD, a solid state drive, you have a hard drive. And if you can hear your computer kind of go when it turns on, that means you have basically, we call it amongst the computer geeks, spinning rust. Would you trust your data to spinning iron plates? You know what I mean? They're spinning. That's when they say hard drives crash, like don't throw that. Don't throw your laptop. It'll crash. It's because imagine if someone's trying to dance while the record's playing. It's going to scratch the record. And that happens to your hard drive. So when hard drives crash, it's very often that someone bumped it or it finally got tired of spinning. And do not trust spinning rust. Do not trust anything. You know, two backups, one offsite, always. Don't, you know, you don't want to come home and find the house burned down and your backups burned down.
Ciao.
Please, please, please. Yes, or you will lose your mind and tweet about it.
So this, that has been a PSA brought to you by Please Backup Your Stuff, Incorporated.
.com.
Listen to us. .com. So, stories of fail. Did you hear about the dude, the Chinese guy who sued his wife for being ugly and won?
What did he win?
He won money.
But he won because, not because the wife was ugly, but because the baby was ugly.
Yeah, but he said it's because, okay, so he was appalled by what the kid looked like, calling the kid incredibly ugly.
That's messed up.
Exactly.
I mean, so he was half of that.
He says the baby doesn't look like either one of them. I'm like, this. See, y'all need Murray. But then the wife came forward and said it's because before they met, she had gotten $100,000 worth of plastic surgery. And she never told him about any of it. So he won $120,000 because his wife was previously ugly and gave them an ugly baby. I don't understand.
Wow. And this is in northern China.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is scandalous. What if you got married to someone and you found out that they had hair plugs? So then would that count? I mean, what kind of thing would you not tell your...
I mean, hair plugs is one thing. Okay, so here's the thing. So if you look like Quasimodo before and now you look like Kim Kardashian, yeah, I could see you feeling a little bit like, dang, I wish you would have told me. But the fact that this dude was actually awarded money.
Yeah, that is pretty messed up.
Because he feels like his baby's ugly because of his wife's fault. That's insane.
I don't know. Everybody's baby's a little wrinkly. How old is this child anyway?
I don't know. They didn't say how old the child was. Most newborns look like aliens.
Oh, for at least a while. I mean, they look like aliens for a couple months.
I mean, some somehow defy logic and look cute out the womb, but 99% of newborns look pretty terrible at first. But you love them because they're little and they're yours. But...
Well, here you go. Here's a picture of the baby. That looks like a baby. I mean, you know, it's a baby. I don't see why that's a problem.
And I want to see what the husband looks like, too, because I'm like, he probably does not look like anybody's model. So he has his nerve to want to sue somebody for being ugly. How about if the baby is ugly because of you? I want to see what he looks like. The baby looks decent. It's just a baby.
No, I have to say that, you know, as a father myself, when someone says my kids are good looking, you know, I'm proud to be part of at least 49% of that. I'm like, they're calling me 49% good looking, so that's pretty cool. I'm down with that.
But you know what, though? Good looking babies does not mean good looking parents, though. Yeah. You know, I've seen some kids who've actually looked like stunning and both their parents don't necessarily look good. Mm. Or I've seen two really beautiful people give birth to a baby who does not look that cute. So
everybody
really,
it all even out when you grow up, though. The hope of the baby will be fine.
I can't believe this dude won $120,000. China, what are you doing? Come on.
Exactly. Hey, what is this, the 8th? So where were you during the election day?
I was sitting on my couch, super nervous. I was avoiding the news, and I was... just avoiding TV.
Right, right. It's too much pressure. We went to the movies. I couldn't handle it. Everybody wants their guy to win. So I just said, let's go to the movies, and when we come out, it'll be over.
Right. So actually what I ended up doing was sitting on Twitter and just cracking jokes about everything that was happening. And while everyone was obsessed with the election results, I was obsessed with finding people's stupidity.
That's not too hard because there's almost always someone, when someone's giving a speech, there's someone behind them or around them or near them who's doing something stupid, and we can always focus on that.
Right. So there was like somebody who was like, are you Republican or Dominican? Be honest. So that was like, I end up updating dumbesttweets.com like 5 times that night because all the stupid political tweets coming through, like the, like somebody who said Obama got 64 states and Romney got 40, but we only have 51 states.
Oh, goodness.
And then somebody else like, Obama's messing up the Electoral College vote. Electoral College? Like,
see, doesn't it make you feel like there should be a test? I mean, we have to have a test to drive, but we don't have to have a test to vote.
We need to have a test to tweet. How about that? Just a simple tweet.
They could, you know what they could do? You know how when you have like CAPTCHA that you have to fill out? Like it's like enter your name, your email, and then what's 2 plus 5? Right? Just to let, make sure that, this is to make sure that you're not a computer. Well, it could be just to make sure you're not an idiot. Right? So if we just said you have to put in what 2 plus 5 is before you tweet, that would shut down probably half of Twitter.
It would shut down like 75%. At night, it was just complete stupidity. Just everyone kept on sending me tweets, and I was just like, I can't, where did we go wrong as a people? Like, did all social studies teachers quit?
I'm pretty sure we went wrong as soon as Flag Lady. You see Flag Lady?
Oh my God. The woman with the flag.
Yeah, so behind Obama while he was giving his speech, his victory speech, was a woman. Everyone kept saying it was Oprah. It did not look like Oprah. She had a flag in her hair, and it was moving. So he would talk, and she would move her head, and she was right next to his arm. So she almost ruined the whole speech because she was just there with this flag stuck in her head.
Well, see, my whole thing was, one, how did the flag stay?
Well, it was a weave.
I mean, the weave was kinky. It had to be super kinky.
Yes.
And why did she think that putting the flag in her hair was the best place? Like, could she not wave it like nobody, you know, like everybody else was doing? Flag lady, what is your beef?
See, this is the thing. I was trying to explain to my wife why I love Twitter so much. I mean, like, I know Twitter's bad for me, but I love it anyway. It wasn't 2 minutes before I said to myself, what is wrong with Flag Lady? That I went onto Twitter and she was trending. And then there was a Flag Lady meme, Flag Lady graphics, Flag Lady LOL cats, Flag Lady tumblers. Then, even better, as I'm explaining to my wife, the magical madness and glory that is social media, a Flag Lady Twitter account started tweeting. And she had about 2,500 followers by the end of the night. Mm-hmm. That is creativity. That's what I mean, that's why I think Twitter is fun. And I think that people who aren't playing with us are missing out on that aspect of things.
Twitter is the best place for dirty dozens. Like tonight, actually, what happened was, you know, those relationship experts. Mm-hmm. Well, one of them tweets, your breast buns and thighs may pop eyes, but you're more than a piece of meat. Remember that.
Okay. And
we roasted him for 3 hours.
Oh, in fact, my goodness.
He actually blocked me.
See, this is the other thing that you and I will have to do another show when we talk about the differences between the different Twitters. There's more than one Twitter. And
yes,
I don't exist on a Twitter that would block people. I mean, I have been blocked by Tyrese. That doesn't actually count.
Wait, you got blocked by Tyrese?
Oh, yeah. You didn't know?
What did you do? Okay, I knew I was blocked by Tyrese, but I have my reasons why I was blocked by, like, I probably earned that a little bit. Well, how did he block you, though?
Oh, this was like 3 years ago when he only had like 50,000 people. And I think it was like when the first time he was in Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I was saying. I would have to go see, you know, see if I could only search Twitter later than a month ago, I would go back and find out why.
You got blocked by Tyrese?
No, I've been blocked by Tyrese, and I've been blocked by actor Brian White.
I've also been blocked by actor Brian White and Toure. So we have that in common.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that I must you be why we hang out. Yeah.
I feel closer to you now. Like, but yeah, so.
Do you use Facebook?
Do I use Facebook?
You're on Facebook. You have a page and a profile, don't you? I see you on Facebook.
I have many Facebook fan. Well, I have my main Facebook fan page and my Rep Pump Facebook fan page.
Mm-hmm.
I have my personal one, so I'm always on Facebook, and I think there's a lot of value in Facebook.
Do you have an easy way? Do you have a custom URL? I can just type facebook.com/Lovey and I get there?
Yes. Like my profile is, I'm Lovey everywhere. So you can go facebook.com/Lovey. And my fan page, it's facebook.com/AwesomeLovey. So that's my social media tip for this episode. If you have a fan page on Facebook, it's really good for you to have a custom URL for it, because instead of your URL being facebook.com/pages/title/ a bunch of random numbers, which makes it hard to market whatever pages, go to facebook.com/username and you can actually get a custom URL for any page. Before, you had to have 25 likes before you can get a custom URL, but now whenever you create a page, you can get a custom URL from the get-go.
Nice. Now, if you're a person like me who has shut down their fan page and has instead moved everyone over to a subscriber, so I have a regular profile and I have people that can either add me as their friend or they can subscribe. They can go to settings, subscribers, and they can pick their username there. So you can have custom usernames for pages or for your actual profile. So I'm facebook.com/scott.hanselman.
And I actually have subscribers on my personal page too. So and I always tell people, you can connect with me both on my fan page and my personal page. If I don't know you, I won't accept you as a friend on my personal page. So subscribe. So for you, Scott, how many subscribers do you have?
Let me see here. I've got probably several thousand now, 6,000 or 7,000. Here we go. So this is a good point, actually. I've only got 4,800. That's because when I moved people over from fan to subscriber, I lost a bunch of people.
That always happens. Having to migrate people back over, a lot of people won't make the step to be like, okay, let me resubscribe.
Well, but it also speaks to the different kinds of people that are on Facebook. Like, I know you have a lot of people on Facebook. Afrobella has a lot of people on Facebook. But the people that want to connect with me as fans, they don't use Facebook. It's a different demographic.
Yeah, so like my fan page has 7,300 people. Then I have 1,300 subscribers on my personal page.
Right.
I think my folks definitely want to connect on Facebook and Twitter, because on Twitter, I have 13,000. Yeah, where my folks hang out.
It's definitely interesting. I've got 60,000 on Twitter, but only 4,000 on Facebook. So it's just a whole different kind of people. And then, of course, Google Plus, there's like two people there because nobody uses Google Plus.
Right, no one uses Google Plus. Google Plus. They said 25% of Google employees don't even use Google Plus actively.
Well, no, and I don't know. Nobody uses LinkedIn unless they need a job, and nobody uses Orkut unless they're in Brazil. So everybody's and FriendFeed, Friendster. You using those things?
No.
Exactly.
LinkedIn actually becoming more used.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. I've seen way more activity in LinkedIn lately because they're pushing out a bunch of new features and they're making it more relevant for like professional people who want to actually connect with other people. Their search tool is phenomenal.
Really? Well, it's definitely not a place to be wacky. That's where, you know, pop culture is on Twitter, so then it must be that hiring and job searches are on LinkedIn.
Yep, that's exactly it.
Absolutely, absolutely. What technical tools do you have to recommend to our listeners this week?
So the one I just discovered last week was Rescue Time.
I love this tool.
Yeah, Rescue Time is, if you want to figure out what you're spending your day doing on the computer online, you can have Rescue Time actually be running in the background. It'll track how much time you're spending on specific websites. Like, it'll tell you how much time you're spending on Facebook or Twitter or Tumblr, how much time you're spending on WordPress and Gmail. So then you can figure out where you're being productive, where you're losing all your time, because, like, a whole day will pass by and you're like, crap, I only did, like, 3 hours of work.
Exactly. And what's great about Rescue Time is that you can categorize these things. So if you're a social media person, and let's say you do this for your job, then you would go and say, well, Hootsuite and Twitter are very productive, so that counts as productive time. But if you're a programmer, you would mark those as very distracting. And what you end up with is a pie chart that says 30% of my time was productive and 70% of my time was fooling around.
Yep. And for freelancers like me, people who work at home and are used to unstructured stuff, this actually helps. Because when you find out you spent 4 hours on Facebook today, you'd be like, oh, shoot. But, well, then again, I'm a social media strategist. So a lot of my work also happens on Facebook for my different clients.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. So for me, Facebook is a distractor and it's where I do some work.
Absolutely. If people want to go up on my blog at Hanselman.com, right underneath the picture on the right of me and Lovey, there is a video. That's my productivity tips video. It's free and it's about an hour long and it talks all about what you can do to scale yourself, what to ignore online, and how to be really productive. It's my personal productivity tips. It's free. It's right underneath the picture of us on the podcast, and we talk all about rescue time and Evernote, and really, I'm very proud of this video, and you've actually seen this, Lovey, and you know it's good stuff.
It is good stuff. You and Adria presented productivity talk at last year's Blogging While Brown.
That's in fact right. Yeah, the second, not this last one, but the one before that.
2011. Yep. So
exactly.
That was a really good one.
Cool. The tool that I wanted to suggest people check out is called Web Matrix. Web Matrix is like a free programming tool, but it's like not this kind of scary programming tool. Basically, if you want to do web development, you like PHP or you want to do HTML, you can download Web Matrix for free at webmatrix.com, and you can like bring down a WordPress blog for free, get it all set up, and then publish it up to any one of the hosts that are out there. If you want to set up databases or start programming against frameworks like Drupal, any kind of a CMS, it's a really, really great free tool. It's free. There's nothing in it. Nothing in it to upsell you, and nothing bad about it. If you've got Windows, Web Matrix is the best way to do web apps, and I really do recommend it. Full disclosure, I work for Microsoft, and the guys that make Web Matrix are a team over from my team, but on the real though, it is a fantastic tool, especially if you like open source and PHP and things like that.
So in the past 2 weeks, how many downloads of our first episode did we get, Scott?
Tap, 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 click, click, click. Looks like 5,125.
Oh my God, that is insane. That is crazy.
It's fabulous is what it is.
That is fantastic, because you guys rock. So thank you for actually downloading our whatchamacallit, our episode.
Yep.
We are on iTunes, of course, now.
Yep.
So if you guys loved our show, liked it, go ahead, put a review on it. If you'd like to put a review on it, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so, but hit us up if you have any questions. Comment on ratchetandthegeek.com. And yeah, let us know what you guys think about the show.
I think it's time for my radio voice.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Scott.
This has been another episode of Ratchet and the Geek. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. That was pretty hot, wasn't it?
That was hot, yes.
All right.
We'll be out you.
All right, cool. Well, I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Peace.